possible.
Delaney, hanging out with you here on ATN. Remember, you can always be part of the action. Just dial away. If you want to sound off on what's happening in the Gulf, have you canceled a vacation yet? Are you thinking of canceling a vacation? Sadly, I actually know people who fall into this category where they're worried about Destin, Florida, should the tides change. A couple of people I know are headed down to the Gulf Coast area, and they're not so sure if they're not going to have to ice their plans. It's a day-by-day watch for them. They actually called the hotel in one case. The Gulf Coast people have a bunch of family members going, and they're in a bunch of rooms, and they called to find out what the policy was as far as canceling. Ooh, that's a sad thing, isn't it? Well, here's the good news right from the top. The top hat was put into the sea, and you know what that is? That's that big box, that big steel box we've been talking about. So a second oil containment box is lowered right near that blown-out well. We'll ultimately know in the next couple of days whether this is going to work or not. And the signs are kind of mixed. The blame was passed along on the Hill for whose fault was it for this oil spill. But what's sad is this part. Now you've got the drill ban that's being proposed, because I don't think that's the way to go. We need the oil. We need to drill for it. Everybody else is drilling for it, so we're not even going to drill off of our own coastline. The spill timing is awful. And it does raise the antenna of people who are like, whoa, are you seeing what's happening now? The birds are going to start to get wrecked. We're killing our wetlands. And what about these dead dolphins that have been found along the Gulf's northern coast? You get more dead dolphins, and you're going to have more people that will start to protest, and the pressure's certainly now on to put a moratorium or cap the discussion about the drill, about drilling offshore. And maybe we don't lift the moratorium, and this would be a big mistake because we're so far behind in the race to come up with the alternatives, and that's what the problem is. All right, in the meantime, Hamid Karzai had a big old meeting with the president, and he's going to talk to Hillary Clinton as well and talk about U.S. relations with Kabul, because no doubt they are strained. We're going to dive into that. Right at the top, though, we got to report this. 105 people, this is breaking news, have been killed in a plane crash at Libya's Tripoli airport. No word on what caused that crash, but 105 people are dead as a result of it. A lot of buzz over Kagan. You know who Kagan is? Elena Kagan. It's the president's pick. She is for Supreme Court Justice. Will she fill the shoes of Justice Stevens when he retires in June? Well, she's now just the nominee. She goes through the whole process, but will she make it through the process? There's not a lot to judge her on as far as the paper, what they would call the paper trail, because she wasn't a judge. So for the first time in 40 years, the pick is somebody who is not a judge, does have some legal background, but certainly not anything as far as the judicial side of it, of putting on the robe, making the decisions, banging the gavel, as I like to say. And she definitely will have to have a thick skin in going through what you go through in those confirmation hearings. Here's the bottom line. We can talk about Kagan all we want, but it doesn't really change the makeup of the court. However, right now there are a lot of people who have votes who are being very cautious to say which way they're going to go as to whether they like what they see or they don't like. It's kind of like, okay, here's the things we're looking at. And a couple of the people I happened to see on cable, a couple of the senators, were one, Arlen Specter first. Arlen Specter, who says He's just going to wait and see about what happens with Kagan, that they need some time to actually look at this. And here's what he said.
People would expect me to make a judgment after the hearing has been held, after we know what her views are, and when the process has taken its course. People would not expect me to make a new jerk reaction before I know the facts and the issues and have an opportunity to make a formulated, considered judgment. And that is exactly what I will do, as I always do.
All right. Did you like that? As I always do. And, you know, Spectre conveniently, whoops, I'm going to jump parties. It's like that Lieberman approach. It's like what's happening with Chris, because he wants to nab a seat, so he had to jump ship, too. I don't get that. I mean, I know you can change your mind. You age and you change a little bit on some of the things you think, or, you know, either way, Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever. But, you know, give me a break with this. I think somebody should just stand up and say, listen, I love being in politics, and if it means I know I'm going to get creamed, I'm jumping to the other side. I'm going to play for the other team, and I'm not going to try to hoodwink you on this thing. I'm just going to tell it like it is. All right, speaking of telling it like it is, that's one thing I do like about Orrin Hatch. I really get the sense that he doesn't care. He just blurts it out, and that's certainly what he did when he talked about Kagan.
Well, whoever this president puts up is going to be liberal. There's no use kidding about it. I'm going to be a liberal on the issues. That's what we elected when we elected President Obama. I did not participate in electing him, I have to add. I voted against him, even though I like him personally. But, you know, we've got to look at her qualifications. There's no question. It's going to take some time to do that. And you know, I don't expect anybody nominated by this president to be a conservative or even a moderate. They're going to be more liberal. But you've got people in the Democratic Party that are so far left that they're just they're killing the party, and they're pushing the people in the Senate and the House left and left and lefter.
Left and left and lefter. Did you like that? Like I said, this is going to be some discussion about this. There's not a lot to go on with her because there's no precedents to pile through in rulings, but I think that that Kagan gets in. And in fact, maybe in a way a tad easier than Sonia Sotomayor, although she did have the background. I mean, she was a judge, you know. She did have that background that everybody's had for the past four decades. Trust me, that will come up. It will absolutely be part of what the questioning is for the Solicitor General. And I wonder if she knew it was going to be her, because crazy names were being thrown out. Her name was thrown out, but as dean of the Harvard Law School, she one thing that she was known for is she was pretty good about ending some of the long-standing feuds that they had on the left and the right. She kind of made peace, as it were. So, how will she be on that court if in fact she goes through the process? When you think of the conservatives on the court, like Alito and Thomas and Roberts and Scalia, and I gotta say it's too hard to tell because of the lack of the paper, because of not knowing where she would stand on some of the positions other than to go by her ideology. All right, 800-259-5791. We'll take a few on the flip side.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2222. 2202 or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Did you know there is a growing number of researchers who agree that 90% of all disease begins in the colon? Did you know that 80% of all Americans suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection? If allowed, our bodies are capable of healing themselves. The key to optimal health is not only what we eat, but also a healthy digestive system and a strong immune system. At Freshwater Organics, we offer FPP, a daily organic supplement that helps eliminate parasites, heavy metals, and high cholesterol naturally and safely. FPP, or fossilized phytoplankton powder, has been used worldwide for thousands of uses and is now available from Freshwater Organics. In addition, we offer an entire line of products to help cleanse waste and toxins, strengthen your immune system, and improve your overall well-being. Make FreshwaterOrganics.com your first stop for organic and natural supplements at the best prices. Visit FreshwaterOrganics.com. Again, that's FreshwaterOrganics.com, or request your free catalog by mail by calling 888-949-3570.
All right, let's head to John, listening to us in Kentucky here in America Tonight. Yo, John, what's happening in your neck of the woods?
Oh, not a whole lot. Figured out how we're bailing out Greece, though.
Oh, what do you mean how we're bailing out Greece? Tell me.
How we're sending them some of our money to help them out and stuff. It's because GM paid their loan back with interest in full.
Oh, right. So that's how they're getting some money.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Because,
that's what
the European
said, wasn't it?
Yeah, the European nations are having to do that. Basically, what's happening is they're going to pick up the rest of the freight for it because it's a mess in Greece. And the people are furious with the cuts to the services and all that other sort of stuff. It's sort of like a big warning to the rest of us. But you're right. We ended up having to dump some money into that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy stuff.
It
there.
Is crazy.
I can't believe Obama nominates a Supreme Court nominee that's not even been a judge either. That just blows me away. That's like getting a banking executive to go be on Deadliest Catch fishing boat.
I like your analogy. You're much more clever than I was where as far as that's concerned. I agree that I think in the case, you know, what you hear is people say, oh, she's so intelligent and whatever. But you might think I'm intelligent. I might think you're intelligent. But how do you think you do on the court when you have absolutely no background in that?
Yeah, it's silly. Hey, on the offshore drilling, why don't they try to drill onshore somewhere? Like, supposedly the Rockies is full of oil and stuff. I mean, it'd be more... Looks to me like it would be a lot less disaster if we did it on land somewhere.
There is some drilling on land, but that's also controversial if you're talking about new wells. You know, there are places where you do have them, and you have them like in Texas, and you have them in other places, but it's always, depending on where it is, it's controversial, and it's certainly with the Rockies, it's controversial.
Hmm.
Because then you get the environmentalists, and then it's all about the land and the environment, and then you go through the lease process. But there, yes, there is oil that is dug. You know how they raise the money, and people, it's basically like you and I would gamble with a whole bunch of other people on striking oil at a certain well. Like there's certain shit, like the Barnett Shale. And there are some wells absolutely around the country, but there's also a lot of the whole environmental stickiness, John, that they go through. And they're supposedly underneath some of those areas in the Atlantic coastline, there's believed to be a lot of oil.
Hmm. Well, I hope they find it, because $3 a gallon gas is getting back up to where it was back when the whole ordeal started, and the cheaper the gas gets, the better off I am.
I agree with you. I feel you. We're going to have somebody on that is the president of electric car company. And if oil continues to rise, like we're to have a really big jump and get up to $100 a barrel, and we have to pay up to $4 at the pump or $5 at the pump, I think people will not like that with their trucks and their SUVs and the distances they have to go, John, and more people will complain.
Well, listen, I'm going to get off here and go to bed. Have a good night.
All right, John, you too. I like that. I'm going to get off and I'm going to bed. You understand? I'm going to bed. I think a lot of people have the high water mark in their head of probably $3, I guess. But once you hit $3, then if you go beyond that, forget it. I mean, then everybody and their brother is going to push for, we're going to have the conversation again about alternatives. And then we go from the alternatives to, yeah, we don't have enough to do the alternatives. We can't really afford that electric car. There's only so many that can get on the road. And ethanol, we're nowhere near the amount of production that we need for ethanol, so we can't possibly rely on those other sources. That's why Obama went with, okay, well then let's, I mean, honestly, with the idea of nuclear power and those two plants that will be built in Georgia, and the idea that, okay, we're gonna take away the moratorium on offshore drilling, and we're gonna explore that, and we're gonna go from Delaware all the way down to Florida, but now you're gonna have some problem with it. And as I explained, many of you know, with oil exploration, that's what it is. You know, when people have these companies, and they get on the phone lines, and they're trying to get other people to jump on and chip in XYZ, invest in whatever well it is, and that's exploration. They're digging for oil. Are they going to strike oil, and how many barrels are they going to get out of that well in a particular day, and how much are they producing, and that's what it's all about. That's what that game's all about. Hey, I didn't mention this on America Tonight yet, and I'm surprised I didn't, but I came across this once again because we've been talking about the crazy volcano in Iceland. Now you've got, with the ash, you have 10 airports affected. And you know what the airports are? The ash is affecting flights in Morocco, in Turkey, in Spain. They're closing them all the way through Wednesday. And you have a lot of tourists that go through those areas, a ton of tourists. In Morocco, especially, a lot of people going through there. Spain, same thing. You have airports that are shut down in the Canary Islands and a couple of the other airports on the Spanish mainland too. Same thing. They're shut down. They're restricting flying between 20,000 feet and 35,000 feet above the ground. So it's mostly these transatlantic flights to and from the other European countries. Up to 20 Spanish airports, including Barcelona, had to close over the weekend. Wow. And, you know, when you know that I have a friend that works for IBM who's supposed to go to Spain. I want to say it's Saturday. She might get caught in that whole crazy dense ash mess in the middle of North America, which caused all those flight disruptions over the weekend. And, you know, it's they're talking about that it may go beyond even Wednesday. Who knew? Who thought that could happen? But if it's that bad, and meteorologists say until the volcano in southern Iceland stops erupting, aviation in Europe is going to be affected by how the winds distribute the ash. The last time the same volcano erupted, check this out. The action went on. It erupted for 2 years, from 1821 to 1823. So all these people that want to go to Ireland and Turkey and all those places, your plans might be on hold because you're not going to be able to get those flights in. Oh, crazy. All right, one more this segment, and finally we do hear once again from the Pope. There's a lot of pressure on the Vatican to please speak and address what's going on with the priest, the pedophile priest, and why were so many shuffled from one parish to another parish. And here's what Pope Benedict said on Tuesday. He said the crisis of sexual abuse of children by priests should make the Catholic leaders acknowledge what he called the terrifying truth that our greatest threat comes from sin within the church. Finally, some strong words. This is the most he's ever said publicly since the scandal broke a couple of months ago. He says there's a deep need to acknowledge that you got to do penance for the sins and accept purification. So this is a little bit better anyway. I mean, this is the worst crisis of the 5 years he's been the Pope. So the church first had to ask the victims who were abused, sadly, for forgiveness. But you got to have justice. That's the thing. There's got to be justice in a lot of these cases. And the Pope is accepting resignations, and they're coming in. There was the bishop who, the Irish bishop, who resigned in April because he failed to do something about the abuse while he was a bishop in Dublin through the early 90s to 2001. And I think that's a good thing because they got to acknowledge it, they got to get rid of it, and there's got to be some form of justice because you just cannot let that happen and sweep it under the rug and pretend it never did. Hang with us, much more to come here on America Tonight.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey Elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653, or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Good morning, Gardeners. Want lighter pots, better drainage, then forget the rocks. Hi, this is Paul Pringer from the Paul Pringer Garden Club. A lot of gardeners ask me if rocks are the best for drainage in the bottom of their pots. Not anymore. Now use Better Than Rocks, a new non-woven mesh material made of 100% recycled plastic. You place it in the bottom of your window boxes, your outdoor containers, houseplant containers for optimal plant drainage. Better Than Rocks helps oxygen reach the plant's roots, allows better nutritional absorption necessary for good growth and lush plants. Plus, you'll save money using less soil. The material is easy to use, and your pots will be much lighter. So go to betterthanrocks.com today, and for a $10 discount off a 16x96-inch roll, use the code PAULP at checkout. That's betterthanrocks.com. Better Than Rocks will get you growing.
Global, environmental, energy, technology. It sounds scary, doesn't it?
Well, it could be if you're a Bilderberger. Because this amazing invention is really all about making clean energy very affordable for everyone. We call it GEET. Now, thanks to a worldwide grassroots intervention, the suppression of GEET is over and its inventor is free again to share it with you. Paul Pantone, inventor of the GEET fuel processor, only has a few openings remaining for the U.S. GEET dealership training program. You can be personally trained by Paul to become a GEET dealer from May 17th through the 21st, or from June 21st through the 25th. For details, go to GEETinternational.com or send an email to paul@geet.nl. Do it now, because when Paul has his 100 dealers, the U.S. school will close. Go to GEETinternational.com or email paul@geet.nl.
Getting paid by the hour and older by the minute. My boss just pushed me over the limit. I'd like to call him something. I think I'll just call it a day. Pour me something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only half past 12, but I don't care. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
I like that song. That's Alan Jackson, and he hooks up later in the song with Jimmy Buffett. And, you know, the whole idea here is the drinking game. But 5 o'clock somewhere, what about the people where 5 o'clock somewhere has become too much? I've seen this happen in different places that I've lived, where just great people get sucked into not just having a few drinks, but they go down to that deep, dark hole, and they have to claw their way out and try to get sober. So I thought it'd be interesting to have Dave Andrews on, and he's from the Sobriety Solution and has some interesting things to tell us about that. Hey, Dave, thanks for popping on America Tonight.
Hey, thank you very much for having me on. It's an honor to be able to talk to your audience tonight.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so Alaska, I happened to see this in a little blurb I read about you, and I had no idea that there's actually a town in Alaska, you have to tell us about this, that abolished the sale of alcohol, and what happened as a result of that?
So they abolished the sale of alcohol, and they had a 70% decrease in crime and accidents related to alcohol. And being a small town, they were really able to monitor that and see the considerable results. Interesting point is a lot of people aren't aware there are actually hundreds of dry counties and towns like that town around the United States. It just isn't something that's very well known or publicized. And the thing I always like to bring up with this is everyone thinks, you know, they hear the word prohibition, for example, and everyone thinks, oh, my God, no, not prohibition again, please. We got to stay away from that. What people remember is that prohibition, it was not illegal to actually drink. It was illegal to sell, manufacture, import, export. Today, the common practice is when they do go to dry counties and towns like Barrow is that you can still drink. You can actually bring the alcohol from somewhere else, have it, you know, shipped in or whatever, brought from another county, but you can't sell it. You're not littered with bars and liquor stores all over your town, which is really, I think, what's at the core of the problem when we deal with this topic.
Do you think alcohol addiction, I'll call it that, is on the rise, on the decline, or somewhere in the middle?
That's a great question, and I actually think it's a little bit on the rise. You'll see studies all over the place with it, but it's getting a lot more attention these days, and it has become even a little more status quo to discuss it with some shows like Intervention and some of the work that Drew Pinsky has done and the shows that he's done from the Sober House and Celebrity Recovery. So it is getting talked about more, which helps it get addressed more, but it still is incredibly prevalent. It's a huge issue, and it starts at our childhood. And one of the reasons I bring up the dry counties piece is to me it comes down to I'm very blessed with the beautiful 5-year-old and 8-year-old daughters, and I'm scared to death of them when they go to college or even just high school when they start getting exposed to alcohol. And I think, as you're aware, in most towns you can find alcohol over the place. It's socially accepted. It's easily accessible. Billboards everywhere, commercials everywhere. You ask any parent out there if they think their child will ever make it to 21 without drinking, and all of them will say no way, and they won't even think anything of it. And, you know, so my concern is, you know, what kind of communities are we bringing our children up? Are we giving them the awareness they need? We just finished Alcohol Awareness Month last month. And you know, the great thing about these dry communities, which I love, and I'm not one to, you know, like Big Brother and you know, lock down all these places and laws and take away my freedom, but the same token, it's very rewarding to hear these stories of places where the kids don't drink as early as they do, because some of the stats prove that if a kid starts drinking before the age of 15, they were 4 times more likely to develop alcoholism than if they began drinking at the legal age of 21. And, you know, those are the kind of statistics that are, I think, very important, because 11,000, somewhere in the neighborhood of 11,000 American youth try alcohol for the first time every single day. And to me, you know, the most compelling case you can make is the family. Where do you want to raise your kids? And do you want to be in a place where it's less socially acceptable and ease of access? Or do you want to be in a place where they're everywhere and it takes them no time or energy to find alcohol?
Yeah, so what do you tell for people listening to us all over the country? What's the best thing to do? You've got the 2 girls, as you said, and they become teenagers. What do you tell kids when you know that there's going to be parties, you know there's going to be alcohol? What's the best way to handle that?
You know, it's such a great question, and it does come down to education, and that's so important. And I'm not a huge fan of scaring children like we often see when, you know, kids get in trouble and they have to go see all these alcohol videos, but it is important for them to know the consequences and to know how alcohol can affect their life today and in their future, and to try to give them alternatives. And so, you know, I have a lot of friends that have kids in that age range, and they do a lot of things with the children that are creating environments that are very positive and very fun. Like, they just spent a weekend doing all kinds of activities around prom, and they did it. It was pretty amazing. They had all of these fun activities from the Velcro stuff, and they had lots of family there, and they were able to successfully take alcohol out of that picture because they were involved, yet they created a really fun environment for the kids, that so they weren't searching out for the alcohol parties. Now, of course, where they're parties and where they're drinking, there always are going to be, but it does come down to education. It does come down to loving, caring families that have an open communication channel and that the children feels like they're, you know, they're part of a family. And so there's a lot to say with that, too.
Now, you talk about, you know, you've got the 30-day sobriety solution, and you're talking about people who have alcohol addiction. What are the first steps to getting on the right path if you're going down that terrible, dark, twisted road?
You know, it's so scary. And, you know, I'm a recovered alcoholic, and I prefer to say I'm recovered. You know, a lot of people say you're always in recovery, and I understand that, too, but it can be very dark. I had a lot of suicidal thoughts and things at the end there. And I was one of the lucky ones to save my wife and kids. I almost lost them to my alcoholism. And so the first thing is really I think there's a couple things. One is, you know, you got to kind of step away and say and realize, do you have a problem? If you can't today say I can quit alcohol for 30 days and not have it dramatically affect my life and not obsess over drinking, then you probably have a problem and you should be working on it. So get out of the denial phase, get over the denial and say, you know what, I want to change this. And then you know, start looking at these people. I have a lot of inspiring sobriety stories on my page of these people that went through incredible, the pain and suffering they went through with their addictions and especially alcoholism, to turn it around and to be people that are speaking all over the U.S. at conferences and all over the world, you know, at in various fields from business to recovery to just, you know, transforming your life. And, you know, realize that there is such a better, happier path out there. And, you know, I say the first step is sit down and write your goals for your life. Write down really what you want in your life and then say, does alcohol get me closer or further away from that? It's usually a pretty much a no-brainer decision. And that kind of starts to clarify where you're at. For me, it started making a huge difference when I started to look at the cost alcohol had to me. But as most of us, we wait until it hits our health really bad, affects our family, maybe we lose our job, maybe we lose our family, and that's where it gets, that's where it's really sad, but it is part of the reality.
I think, too, and it depends, men versus women, different kinds of pressure, but don't you think at every level there's peer pressure, whether it's, you know, playing, and this certainly isn't for everybody, but they're playing it at country clubs, and they've got, you know, the margaritas running all the way through the tennis tournament that they have every week, or whether it's a business-related thing. When I first got out of school, I had a friend that worked for McDonald's, and he said to me, now, when you come to see me in Chicago, put your, you know, make sure you got your drinking game on, because you can't show weakness. You got to be able to do hundreds of Jell-O shots. And I thought, no way, I'll be on the floor. You know, I'm 5'5". And I think even still, that's why I asked you that question, is drinking on the rise, that there is the pressure to drink sometimes, and that makes it hard for a lot of people, and it makes it hard for them to I think, make the choice to become sober, right?
You know, peer pressure is so, yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, and you bring up so many, I could answer that in a lot of different ways because there's so many responses to that question. One, first of all, and that's why I do love AA meetings. AA didn't have all the answers for me, but when you go to those meetings, you meet people and you see that there's a pathway out, that they're leading amazing, happy life. That's what shocked me, that people are actually happy sober for many years. I couldn't believe that. And you get peer pressure on the positive side of getting away from it. The funny thing is, and this is what I had a tough time realizing, was there are a lot less people out there drinking abusively, like most of the people that have problems are drinking, than you think. You've created this alcoholic mind, and you follow this alcoholic continuum that you start putting your blinders on. As we all know, it's all about perception. We all see things as we kind of want to see. What was a hard thing for me to stop seeing was to stop seeing that there are a lot of people actually stopping after two or three drinks that I kind of thought were drinking all night long. And that was kind of an eye-opening experience. Now, there's always going to be, you know, there are, you know, the 10% is the number of drinkers out there that actually drink to an alcoholic or abusive level. But 10% is not a lot. And, of course, if you surround yourself around a crowd that drinks, then you're always going to have a lot more than 10%. But in general, the perception is very different. And what I found is people don't care so much if I don't drink. Some do, and those people are people I don't really care as much about. Business, I know, gets complicated. I was scared to death of how it would affect my business because I thought, you know, my networking and working with others and my relationships, going out to bars and stuff and developing those, were so important, everything. What I realized was so much more important is how much better I was. If I was good at my job, I'm a high-functioning alcoholic, or was, I was so much better at my job when I got sober. It didn't matter. It didn't matter if I was going out with these people or not, because the work I was producing was phenomenal. And the time I had, I was always sober, clear-headed, and ready to do amazing work. And I still go out to these places. I still have fun. I still socialize. I don't enjoy it as much as I used to because I don't need to bore. I find it boring. I find it simply mind-numbing to sit there and be around that for hours now. Whereas now I'll go in, I'll hang out for a half hour, hour, have some good conversations, move on. And, you know, the people that care, let them, because there's going to be a lot more people that don't and that respect the work I do.
Yeah, great note to end on. Dave Andrews, appreciate it. Go to thesobrietysolution.com. You have a good one.
Hey, thank you, Kate.
All right, coming up around the bend, We Can Count.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about Down Home Value, made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. Put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get diamond gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com. That's gusset.com. Or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
Times are tough, and you gotta stretch that dollar. A special invitation for listeners to save. Sign up at DoobleyShoppers.com today and start paying the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices for the coolest stuff. New premium brand name TVs, laptops, watches, camcorders, Blu-ray players, and more. All with factory warranties, just like you get from a retail chain. Except for the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices. They start low and go lower with our reverse auctions. You save even more with your first $8 auction purchase. Doobly will give you an instant $25 dining certificate good at thousands of nationwide restaurants, plus a $500 vacation discount voucher, usable at hundreds of resorts around the U.S. and world. Sign up today at DoobleyShoppers.com. Pay the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices, and listeners receive special rewards. It's worth a peek to keep money in your pocket and the coolest stuff in your home and garage. Sign up today at DoobleyShoppers.com. That's D-U-B-L-I Shoppers.com. You'll be glad you did.
Yep, no.
In 1965, this is the sound. Come in, John. One more time. Fantasy. Metal drag. Papa's got a brand new bag.
And apparently some of you are fans of C-SPAN, or you're watching the clips and the analysis of Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe today when it came to the three oil companies. Because, man, I'm telling you, my email is blowing up. I'm going to have to delete a bunch of the old email, which means we will definitely be doing a mailbag segment coming up in our next hour of America Tonight, because lots of hot opinions out there. That's what it's all about. It's about the water cooler buzz from coast to coast and left to right and everywhere in between. That's why I say it's a conversation, and everybody's welcome to this party anyway, at 800-259-5791. In talking about the oil spill and what's going to happen, you know, there are a lot of people that think it's being either overhyped or not hyped enough. Isn't that funny? And that's what some of the emails are talking about, that there's too much hype, and it's like the worst thing that we've ever seen. It's like the locust, it's like the plague, or there's not enough attention being paid to it. You know, news moves so fast, and I think that's what it is, and there's so much going on, not like there wasn't in the past, but the way we get our information, how quickly it comes across. The dark ages are gone. I mean, between social media, the internet, radio shows, podcasts, everything. I mean, it's so quick anymore. And I think that's part of the deal. So that's why I always do odds and ends. because there's holes that we want to fill in, things that you might not have heard that we think are worthy of mentioning on the air. And one of those things, of course, sadly, is what happened in Oklahoma with those tornadoes. I mean, I say this all the time because I did a brief stint when I was an anchor woman, a television anchor woman, in a place called Kearney, Nebraska. And, boy, I had never seen anything like the tornadoes that would crop up. And when I would go out and cover that and watch people with tears in their eyes trying to piece those lives back together, I wondered, geez, this has got to be one of the worst things because you're blindsided. You have no idea that this is coming. So as I said, Mark Aceta, our pal, is a perfect person to talk to about this. He's a life coach, and it's all about keeping on track even when you hit those giant potholes. I mean, adversity where you're talking about the loss of life and you have to deal with that tragedy, or the loss of friends' lives due to something that was unforeseen, like Mother Nature. Hey, Mark, thanks for popping on ATN.
Oh, my pleasure. Always lovely to be on your show.
You know, you deal with this because you're dealing sometimes with people in crisis, and sometimes people turn to you because they just want to be tweaked a little bit. There's a project they have going on, and there's something that they're trying to achieve, goals and whatnot. But how do you... when your family is decimated by a tragedy like the miners, what we saw what happened in West Virginia a couple months ago, what we see that's now happened with the oil spill and the fact that there was 11 people that, yes, it's a dangerous job, but they were snuffed out. They're gone. And then, of course, the tornado, which even more people can relate to because you just don't really know, even with the great warning systems that are, you know, they're starting to put them in play a little bit more, you still can't always prevent what sadly becomes the inevitable for some people. So what would you tell people dealing with that kind of adversity?
Well, first of all, you know, the main thing is I try to get people to understand that, you know, all the things perhaps that they know about having a good attitude and their faith and all those things are most important during times of tragedy. Actually, that's when you need them more than anything. And a lot of people, once they do hit that catastrophic state, they don't realize that, as you said, a lot of people come to me because they just want to tweak things or make them a little bit better. But the principles that make you a little bit better are magnified when you're under such a tremendous problem. So, for example, one of the things is, you know, the power of staying in the now and not really dwelling on what's happened in the past, especially if it's tragic. You know what I mean? It's certainly, we all need to process something, you know, especially when there's a loss of life and so on and so forth. But some people process it in a healthy way and move on with their lives, and other people never let it go, ever. You know what I mean? So that's one of the things that we try to get people to understand is, you know, it's right and it's normal for you to deal with it, but once you've dealt with it, you need to let it go and move on. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty important lesson.
Yeah, and in moving on, here's another question related to the loss of life. Because I completely agree with you, Mark, that it is about focusing on the present and not dwelling so much on the past. But I think now there's this new trend where a lot of times people are foregoing funerals and they're being cremated and they ultimately want to be buried, or they might still want to be buried somewhere in a cemetery and have a private little service. But the big funerals and I grew up in an Irish family, and it's always, you had a big Irish wake because you were celebrating the person. It wasn't to be down. It was to celebrate. What is the best way to handle that? Do you think the celebratory thing and really marking it helps you move on, or is it better to kind of just glide forward?
No, I think you really hit the nail on the head. I think it's very important that we don't ignore the fact that something happened. You know what I mean? It's like, I think it's healthy for everyone to get together, because let's face it, the reason why we're tearful most times when someone passes is because we're going to miss them. You know, it's our own grief we're dealing with. So many people, I just had a very good friend of mine who had Lou Gehrig's disease and passed on, and there's no doubt that he's in a better place now. I mean, but I think it was extremely healthy for everyone to get together and honor his memory and so on and so forth. But then also, once we're able to do that grieving, then for everyone to release it, because most of the people who are gone wouldn't want us to keep, you know, being down about it. You know, most of them would want us to move on with our lives and so on and so forth. So I think it's an unhealthy thing to ignore that something serious like this happened. As a matter of fact, I can guarantee you that's a problem, because somewhere down the road, that's going to manifest itself in a negative way in your life if you don't ever process something that intense.
Yeah, well said. How about this? This is something a lot of people are going through, too, in a different way of being blindsided. Like, they suddenly lose their job, and unemployment numbers, depending on where people are listening to us, in some cases are high. Even we've got people listening to us, Mark, right now in Spain, and unemployment there is atrocious. It's 20%. And wow. Here in the States, the foreclosure rate, again, in some of the areas where people are listening, worse in Florida, worse in California. I think people get paralyzed by that. Then they think, oh, I have to look for a job. I hate looking for a job. I can't do my resume. I can't do this. I'll just put it off to tomorrow. I'll just wait till next week. What do you tell people that get paralyzed by things?
Well, you know, it's funny, because that's something that before I actually did a lot of the work I've done, that used to be my deal. Like, when I was overwhelmed by something, I would just sleep late and procrastinate and put it off. And what I learned was, when you don't attack the problem, it generally just gets worse. You know what I mean? It's like, it rarely gets better by ignoring it. Very few things get better by ignoring it. And the thing that happens is, unconsciously, we become even more depressed when we realize we're not doing what we know we need to be doing. So the best thing to do is to suck it up and go out there and do the resume. And also, one of my core teachings, Kate, is you have to expect good results. So many people are not optimistic. Even positive people, they're not optimistic. They don't expect good things to happen. And for anyone who believes in the law of attraction, let me tell you something. If you're not expecting good things to happen, they probably won't. Now, expecting good things to happen isn't going to guarantee a good outcome, but expecting bad things to happen will pretty much guarantee a bad outcome. So you have to get rid of the doubt and you know, just believe that something good is going to happen. Even though it may not, if you don't believe something good is going to happen, chances are you're not going to take the action steps towards making something happen.
Mm-hmm. Also well said. You know, it's funny. It's like the smartest man I knew, kind of a mentor of mine, Mark, said to me one time, you know, life is a self-fulfilling prophecy. And I think there's something to that.
Oh, no doubt about it. I fully believe that. That I was blessed enough to come across a mentor in my life, and he started putting expectations on me that I started living up to. And you know, that's exactly what happened to me. You know, so many of us, though, don't have a mentor in our lives to put an expectation on us. So what it really boils down to is we've got to start putting expectations on us. I mean, some people love Donald Trump, some people don't. But in his first book, The Art of the Deal, the first line in the book is, everyone has to think. So I figured, why not think big? So you know what? It worked for him. You know, just think big. Think outrageous. Think audacious thoughts, because crazier things can happen. I mean, you know, you got all kinds of stories like Colonel Sanders. I mean, we have hundreds of stories, we could say,
absolutely,
where people had nothing going on and achieved amazing amounts of success. So you never know. Maybe this is the opportunity I've been looking for. Maybe being laid off is going to turn them into the next Mrs. Fields.
Yeah, no kidding. Well said. Life coach Mark Aceta, Google him. Good stuff. Thanks, Mark. We appreciate it.